So I've asked John Sheffield if he'd come up and read this morning's scripture.
Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on pilgrimage to worship him." When the word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. And not only Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem was as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and the religious scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And they told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. In you, Bethlehem, is Judah's land. No longer bringing up the rear, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east. Pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem, and he said, "Go find this child. Leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word, and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They were arriving at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod. So they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country.
Thank you, John. Father, I ask that as we explore this passage this morning, that your Spirit would come and open our minds and our hearts and our lives to you in a new way, with new power. In Jesus' name, amen. So we call them magi, right? Because that's what we get from Scripture. We also call them kings. We sing a song. What's the song we sing? We Three Kings. Did it say anything about them being kings in this passage? No. Did it say anything about there being three of them in this passage? No. So we, you know, part of the problem with that I've been talking about in the last few weeks in treating this a little bit like a fairy story, we add things to the story and we make it kind of a caricature of something. Who were the magi? The magi, the word magi comes from magus, which is a word that we get the word magician from. Magi were basically astrologers, wise men. They were in fact scholars who studied the stars. They were able to interpret omens and things like that. Kings filled their courts with magi. So Pharaoh had magi, magicians and sorcerers, and those who would advise him around him in his court. Nebuchadnezzar had magi as a part of his court. And they're from the east. We don't know where that is. The word magi originated in Persia, so they could be from Persia. But it was a word that was used all over the world at that time. So they're not necessarily from Persia, but they could be. Certainly what they are is pagan. They're not Jewish. They're scholars. They're astrologers. In our day and age, they would be astronomers. They would be people like Andy Fletcher, people who are studying things that are beyond most of us in terms of what we can grasp. And apparently what they have been doing is they've been studying the stars, they've been studying the omens, and they've come to conclusion that There is one who is going to be born, and they're going to be able to identify that one through the stars. Now, we get caught up in what I would call the vehicle rather than the cargo. The cargo is the truth about the one who is going to be born. The vehicle is this star. And we spend a lot of energy saying, well, how could that be? How did that star happen? So we identify the star with Venus, or we identify the star with an asteroid or something else. That misses the point. The point is that these pagan scholars have been looking for some good news in the midst of a world that's filled with bad news. That's the cargo. And the good news is that there is one who is to be born King of the Jews. And that's where their study was leading them. And so they come seeking this one who is to be born King of the Jews. Now, stop. Think for a moment. If you're Herod, who is king of the Jews, and you hear that a baby's been born that is going to be king of the Jews, what do you think? Huh? Uh-oh. Yeah, I got to do something about it. So he tells the Magi, go find the child and tell me so I can come and worship him. Right. If you read on in the text, what Herod actually does is he determines when the star first appeared. And then he says, go kill all the children, the babies born, the males' babies born, who are 2 years of age or under. Now that tells us a couple of things. The Magi didn't get there right at the same time that the shepherds did. As much as 2 years later, certainly at least 6 months, because that journey would have taken at least 6 months to a year to make. Second thing it tells us is they didn't appear at the stable. So all of our creches that have the Magi at the table are all wrong. So they come and they find the baby. And what do they do? What do they do? They worship him. They worship him. And they bring gifts. And the gifts they bring are gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which are gifts for a king. They're the gifts that Sheba brought to Solomon when she came to visit him at his court long ago. And so there's a kingly aspect to this. But the kingly aspect does not have to do with the Magi. It has to do with the baby who has been born. Which is why the song that we sang, Crown Him King of Kings, and He Shall Reign, and He Shall Reign, is appropriate to sing on this day. Because the whole point of this is, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new king who reigns. It's not Herod. It's not Caesar. It's not Obama. It's not Trump. It's Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, when you get the whole story together, you realize not only is he born to be King of the Jews, but he is born to be Messiah of the world. He is born to be the one who is setting all things right in the entire world. Well, how do I know that? Well, for one, we've already seen that the way he does it is different than the way of the world. He begins in Nazareth, a podunk little town that nobody pays attention to. He begins with Mary and Joseph, two people who have no influence, no position, no power. The only thing they have going for them is they are the righteous poor. So it's clear that however God is going to work, he's going to work in and through and for the poor and the disenfranchised of the world. We've already seen that. We've already seen that Mary and Joseph have to make a trip because the powers of this world say, get up and go and get counted. And so they do. But then there's no room for them to stay. There's no guest room for them. Nancy and I have a large house. We had four boys, and now it's just the two of us. But we have guest rooms where we have people come and stay all the time. Well, at that time, there were so many people who had to return to their homes. There was no place for them. And so they give birth to their son in a stable, which is probably not a stable like that creche back there, but it is probably a cave where the animals are kept. God cares for the poor, the disenfranchised, the left out, the least, and the left behind. But this story tells us that God also cares for the intellectuals and the rich, the wealthy, and the powerful. Because he reveals to them the birth of this baby who is born to be king. Oftentimes we become snooty and we think if people don't look in the right places, they don't count. And so I think we make a mistake when we say the only right place is the scriptures. The scriptures are one and maybe the most important place to look. But here's the truth. Like the astrologers, like the magi, like the scholars, people in our world today are looking all the time, seeking for the answer to their lives. And they may be looking in places that we would never think of. And yet God begins to open a door. God begins to do something in their lives in which something is revealed to them, where there's an epiphany in their lives. And I believe we need to be ready to help them along the way. They eventually did get to Scripture, because Scripture said it's in Bethlehem. That's where the king was to be born. And so we can help people along the way. But we need to begin to recognize that what God is doing in and through Jesus of Nazareth is not just for the Jews, and it's not just for us here. It is for the entire world. God's agenda is the salvation, restoration, renewal of the entire world that's gone wrong because of rebellion, because of sin, because of selfishness, because of the things that we say and do to each other as individuals in families. Some of you may have had hard family times this holiday, and there's hurt and there's pain. God has come in Jesus to address that pain and that hurt. But it's not just families. It's neighborhoods and it's cities. It's nations, nation between nation. God's agenda is bigger than just you and me. That's why the gospel is not about you getting saved so you can go to heaven when you die. The gospel is all about God sending his son into the world to rule as king, the rightful king who will set things right. And now he enlists us to be a part of that restoration project. That's what the epiphany is. That's what the revealing is. That we are called to be faithful witnesses in the midst of an unfaithful world. Even in the midst of our hard lives. Even in the midst of depression, and disaster, and even death. The story of Jesus is not a fairy tale. The children in Bethlehem were slaughtered. That's not a fairy tale. Real stuff. People die every day. People are depressed every day. People are put in disastrous situations every day. And the king who was born on Christmas was born to help start a new beginning. New creation. That's what God wants to do. And he wants to do it in your life personally as well as the whole world. So the story of the Magi is the story of people who come seeking a new beginning. The people who come seeking this king who is to come. And they seek in the places and the ways in which they're able to. The way they're trained. I mean, one of the things that I couldn't just sit through a class of Andy's. I had to have Andy sit down and give me a personal tutorial over several weeks. So I could even begin to grasp a little bit of what he talks about. But part of what he showed me was the revelation of God in the midst of the physics of this world. I couldn't have seen that on my own. People who seek after truth eventually are going to find it because God says, seek me with your whole heart and I will be found. It may take a long time, but we can be agents of that epiphany for people. And then the other question we need to ask is, not only what are they seeking, but what are we seeking? What are you seeking this new year? Are you seeking a new beginning in certain ways? Don't leave God out of the picture. And in your seeking, what is it that you're looking for? And how are you going to seek? I know for me, I went through a period of time in my life when I was a young adult where I kind of abandoned everything about Christianity. And for me, the seeking was all involved in going back to Scripture on my own and saying, I need to look at this again because I'm not sure what I've been taught is really true. And I found out that a lot of what I've been taught was not true. It was stuff like the Magi, the wise men, stuff that had been added that really wasn't part of the story. And so it changed the story. So I went back to Scripture. And I would say that there are some people who are here this morning where that's exactly what you need to do. You need to become a part of that Bible study on Thursday morning. You need to become a part of the well. You need to become a part of round tables. You need to become a part of Mosaic. You need to become a part of a group of people who meet just for coffee informally on a regular basis. You need to go back to the basics and discover again the truth of the king who was born in Bethlehem. And the other question we need to ask is, what are we going to bring and give? These Magi brought gifts fit for a king. What do we bring? What will we give this next year? Will we give of our time and our talent and our treasure? Will we care for the earth? What will we give? Will we demonstrate our wholehearted devotion to the Lord of life in ways that people around us can see? Because it's demonstrated by our lives. That's what new beginnings do. They demonstrate something new. And I would encourage you on this January 1st of 2017 to actually begin again with the Lord of life. Father, I ask that you would take these meager words and your magnificent truth and bring it home to each one of us personally and with power. Life-changing power. In Jesus' name. Amen.